Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and happy Thursday. We thank and praise the Lord for this day, and y'all know we're proper. Normally, if you have been tuned to this broadcast, I'm going to say this is the day that the Lord have made, and I made a quality decision that I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because I know who holds my future. I sent a shout out to Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. They are the hosts of this broadcast, and I just thank and praise the Lord for this opportunity that I just play a small part in it. But I just thank and praise the Lord for the finishing work of Christ, and that's what it's all about. Man cannot live on this earth without God. A lot of people, include myself, I got saved, as I stated so many times, when I give a portion of my testimony, because I didn't want to go to hell and I wanted to be delivered from drugs. And I thank and praise the Lord for setting me free. But once I got born again, I had this craving, this desire to read the Word of God. And, you know, I started reading the Bible when I was 8. But the reality of it didn't come to after I accept Jesus, my Lord and Savior. And even to this day, when I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit make it so real. It's like he's talking, well, ain't no light, but he be talking to me. And I praise and thank the Lord for Jesus. You know, one of the psalmists said, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I would have been consumed by the enemy. And believe it or not, without God, none of us can make it. Without the shedding blood of Jesus, that's why Jesus' death was so important. His coming was not in vain. When he said it was finished, he made it possible for mankind to be reconciled to the Lord. And I am so grateful. I'm serious. I am so grateful for that. One of our scriptures that we use, God within Jesus reconciles a man back to himself. And that is so true. As I stated, the enemy wants you to believe that you cannot be restored back to God. But, oh, yes, you can. You know, we living in the time. Yes, there's a lot of things happening in the earth. But Jesus said, in me you can have peace. Now, I don't know about you, but let me tell you something. I found that to be true. You can have chaos all in your surrounding, but still in Christ you can have peace. And as I state so many times, I thank and praise the Lord for being saved. And the gospel of Jesus, when we get this gospel out, the gospel of Jesus Christ is you don't have to stay in the shape that you in. That's the good news. The good news is whatever the enemy have placed on you or in your life, you can be set free. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there too, again, I just thank and praise the Lord for this day. As I stated, truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Oh, yes, I'm a firm believer in that. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I just thank and praise him for it. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18th verse, and we're going to continue. I've been talking about how the love of Christ, his redemption work, bind us together, how it liberate all of us from the spirit of hostage, all of this bitterness and resentment. And I keep saying that because the Bible said faith working by love. And I tell you, Jesus removed the hostility from mankind towards mankind, or better yet, to one another. We in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we're going to go, I want to read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter in its entirety, because we need to realize that God ain't placed one person above the other one. The Bible said God have no respect of person. and he don't. God love everybody. When you truly, and I say it so many times, if you ever get a truly, if the reality of the love of God be revealed to you, you'll know that God love all people. It's not one individual God hates, regardless to the color of your skin, regardless to your education, your culture. God love everybody. And one of the reasons that God loved everybody, because all of us came from God. But the thing that hinder us, and if you don't get a knowledge and an understanding about this, you're a free moral agent. God gave all of us a will. For a long time in my life, until that came to me, that knowledge, God revealed that to me, I found myself being hostile with other people. Some people I didn't want to deal with, especially in my family. And that first person was my dad. But I thank and praise the Lord for opening up my eyes to see that, you know, each one. Now, the Bible said we were born to shape in iniquity. But, you know, as you grow up, you can see things in life that can cause you to turn better. Yes, things can cause you to open yourself up for offenses, bitterness, resentment, and rejection. And I tell you, in the hour and time that we're living in, you really have to have a relationship with God to walk in the forgiveness and to love everybody. I have had people say, you can't love everybody. No, you can't love everybody in yourself, but with the help of the Lord, you can do it. The Bible said the love of God been shed upon our heart by the Holy Ghost, and that is so true. I found out I can do nothing of myself. And that's why Jesus was always pointing everybody to his Father. He was saying, I come to do the will of my Father. He always was giving the Father the glory. And, you know, with religion and tradition, you'll never know this. But once your spiritual eyes come open, you'll know. Okay. In 2 Corinthians, let me pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. I bless you. I thank you for enlightenment and understanding today. I thank you, Father, right now that the Holy Spirit been released over the airways. The Holy Spirit is the convictor. The Holy Spirit is the one to bring enlightenment and understanding. So I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for spiritual eyes will be open, understanding will be given to your people. I thank you that the people will be encouraged because of your word. I thank you, Father, right now for your word. I thank you for loving all of us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. I thank you, Jesus, that you said yes to the will of the Father. I bless you and I praise you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been doing a series of teaching for a while, and we've been talking about in Acts, the second chapter, how he was saying that it's nor Greek, nor Greek among, nor female or male, but we all are one in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one that caused mankind to be oneness. Christ Jesus, one that will liberate us from racism, from prejudice, come on somebody, from bitterness and hatred. He is the one. The enemy always seeking and going to extreme measure to bring division, to bring hatred and bitterness and resentment among humanity. And if your spiritual eyes, if your eyes don't come open to that, he going to always give you and I reason to dislike one another or find fault in one another. You know, the divorce rate wouldn't be so high if the husband and the wife would come to the reality to know it's the enemy and it's Satan that don't want us to be together. I've been studying about the power of agreement. You know, one of the messages I probably will be bringing as the Lord opened the door for me. But the power of agreement is so powerful. The enemy always wants us to come out of agreement or don't come in agreement with what God's word say. And I'm telling you, whoever listen to the broadcast now, I don't care what you done been through in life. I don't care how much of bitterness and resentment that you done experienced or you done saw. You can forgive you, and God want to restore your life so you can do that. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and these are words of the Apostle Paul. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made perfect in God, and our trust also made manifest in conscience. For we were commanded not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. 13th verse. He said, for whether we beside ourselves it is to God, or whether we sober, it is your cause. For the love of Christ, and listen, once Christ come in your life, the love of Christ, it will constrain you. I want you to hear me. The love of Christ will constrain you. The love of Christ will, well, let me read it. Let me read a little bit of it from the Amplified. It said, for the love of Christ control and utter and impel us. And like I said, there too again, God would never ask you and I, ask the creator of all mankind, the one that chose to place you and I on this earth when he did. If you still living today, that's a sign it is the will of God for you to be here. You know, I used to say, based upon my circumstances, I wish I wasn't born. I wish I wasn't here. But that was a statement of ignorance. But when I came into the knowledge and the revelation, and it was I that created you. Yeah, I used your mom and daddy to bring you here, but it was my will for you to be on this earth. And I done learned how to enjoy life with the Lord. I said, with the Lord. Because without him, you can't do it. I can't stress that enough, because so many times the enemy wants people to think on their own effort they can do what God required them. They can treat everybody. No, you can't. Without the Lord help, none of us could do anything. But he was saying, he said, for the love of Christ control and utter and impel us. And I want you to know it's the love of Christ. For the love of Christ constrain us, because we this judge that if one die for all, then we all dead. And he talking about Christ. Christ was the one that died for all humanity. A lot of people don't realize that when he died, when he said it was finished, that mean, okay, God, everything that hindered and blocked mankind relationship with you, I have did away with it. Now man can come straight to you on his own. Man, humanity can repent. They can come to you. They can have communion. They can fellowship with you. And y'all, that is the gospel of Jesus. Come on, son. The gospel of Jesus ain't just only that you can spend eternity with God, be forgiven of your sin. But the gospel is, as Jesus said in John 10:10, that you can have abundant life. Yes, the enemy always trying to steal your joy, and the only way he can steal your joy and your peace is because you don't have no idea who you are or what Christ did for you. You do not know how to fight the good fight of faith. You don't know what the words say about you. And I say it all the time, you don't let other people read the word for you. You need to get in there and read the word for yourself. You got to get you have to get established in faith. You have to get established in God. Word, you have to get established in his love, what God say, because if you don't get that, you will always find yourself, as the old folks used to say, on the short end of the stick. Okay? But he go on and say this here, for the love of Christ control and other impel us, because we are of all opinion and convicted that if one die for us, then all die. You got what? Listen what he's saying. And he's talking about how Christ died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There too, again, a lot of people don't realize that. As a born-again believer, we allow Christ to live his life through us, and through that we find fulfillment, we find joy, we find peace. We have knowledge and revelation and understanding that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, all of this is part of the gospel of the kingdom of God. People pray the Lord's Prayer daily, and some don't have no idea the value of it. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Well, you need to know what God's kingdom is consists of, the will of God. What is the will of God? And y'all, the will of God is for us to come back to him, be restored in a relationship back to him. The will of God is for us to forgive and love one another. The will of God is for us to help one another. And number one, that we have help in doing the will of God, and the Holy Spirit is the power. He's the one that released the power. But there too again, like I said, Jesus said, I die for all of you, and since I die for all of you, you can die with me. Now, once I live, you can live too. And that's why I love what the Bible also tells us. Wherefore, this is 16 verse, I'm in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 16 verse. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Listen at me good. And this is so important. Some people might say, you know, and if you do have this thought, my assignment, not only, I mean, as a prophet, God, not to prophesy, you know, and declare over your life all the time, but to teach you as a citizen in the kingdom. And if you're not a citizen of the kingdom, if you haven't been born again, that you can be born again, that you need to know once you become a citizen in the kingdom, once you get born again, you can lay your hand on yourself, you will be here, you can pray, you can do warfare. That's part of the benefits of being in the kingdom of God. God, in every kingdom, it have a king, and a king have citizens, and we are the citizen in the kingdom of God. Once you get born to God, God is the one that will provide for you. Whatever we need, he will provide. See, all of this, what I'm saying now, when I first got saved, I didn't have no idea. I was still trying to defend for myself, and all I just didn't know what it meant. All I know about God was, I know that when it come down to spiritual thing, I know about heaven and I know about hell. Didn't know anything about God. Didn't know nothing about the abundant life. Didn't know nothing about how to be, receive the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit would lead and guide. I didn't know none of that. But I'm so grateful that when I got saved, I found out that God wanted to be a part of my life. Every day, in all of my conversation, whatever I do, the Bible say, commit your ways unto the Lord. Also trust in him. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. He will direct your path. See, none of this I know. And I struggled for a long time, even after I got saved, because I didn't know and I didn't realize the importance of renewing my mind. I didn't know the importance of coming in agreement with what God's word said. I didn't even know if you could do that. I didn't know that it was laws and principles in the kingdom. And if I, just like in the natural, if you violate laws in the natural, it's consequences. Well, I found out when I got saved that it's laws in the spirit realm. If you violate those laws, guess what? You're going to suffer the consequences. Remember, we ministered a couple of weeks ago about how each one of us is free moral agent. And it's an act of your will. Even after you get born again, you have to come into the realization that I have a will. And it's an act of my will. I can choose to serve God. That's Deuteronomy 30 chapter. It tells us how he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. We talked about this, how you can choose as an act of your will to do right or don't do right. You can choose as an act of your, once you get born again, Satan cannot stop you unless you allow him. Now, yeah, he can hinder you, he'll do it, but guess what? And he only do that through ignorance or through inconsistency. If we're not consistent in reading our word and being doers of our word, listen, he going to get you. That just it. But Jesus done made it possible that whatever, and I remember the late Fred Price said this. Over years ago, I was studying one of his books, and he was saying, he said, you don't have to sin. And when I read that, I said, oh, no, nah, you don't have a choice but to sin. But he was speaking based upon the knowledge, that understanding, and the revelation of the finishing work of Christ. The Bible said, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. The Bible tells us, since the sin nature been broke off of us, we do not have to yield to sin. Now, if you somebody that don't have knowledge and understanding that, the enemy will have you to believe, I don't have no other choice. You're me good. You know, and there too, again, I found this out. Sometimes the way that the gospel is taught and preach, the enemy will have you to believe, ain't no way, I don't want to hear that. I already know. Listen, always keep an open mind. Don't shut out information. Keep an open mind. Please hear what I'm saying. You know, some people, they life is full of negative. They done dealt with a lot of rejection, and you just feel like, this all I have to look for the rest of my life. That's not true. The gospel is so simple. If you don't keep an open mind, you can miss it. I have heard some people, and I've been down that road, I just don't want to hear anything else about God. I done tried this and tried this and tried. I didn't even try God and it don't work. No, you haven't tried God and it didn't work. What it was, you were ignorant of what God required from you. You were ignorant that you had a will, and God is not going to override or violate your will. These are some of the things that will hinder you and keep you from really wanting to serve God. Keep an open mind. Don't let the enemy have you believe that, you know, I hear people say this too, ain't nobody living right. Somebody is living right. Okay? But he was saying, like I said, he was saying, herefore, let me read that verse. I'm gonna read it from the King James. He said, for that he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them. Once we get born again, as I stated, we're supposed to live unto God. And living, and believe it or not, and this didn't make sense to my five senses either. I can kind of sense somebody might be saying, well, prophet, that just don't make sense. Hey, don't listen. As I used to say this a lot of time, and since I need to say it now, nothing God ever said going to make sense to your five senses. You can't understand God from the natural perspective. Now, through the Spirit, you can understand him through the Spirit. And once your spiritual eyes come open, you can see God in everything. One of the late deacons at the church I pastored, he used to sing a song, I can see God in everything. And sure enough, you can. Once your spiritual eyes come open, you can see God in everything, in the physical realm. You can really see him. You can see him at work. You can see his attribute. You can see all of that. But if you haven't been born again, and people say, I'm tired of people telling me what to do. You know, I just want to do what I want to do. Yeah, but you don't realize the act of your will, when you choose to rebel and disobey the laws and principles of God, you're going to suffer the consequences. It's just like, you know, a young man, a young woman can say, well, I don't know about telling me what to do. I'm going to go out here and rob a bank. That was an act of your will. If you choose to go out here and rob a bank, do you not know you're going to suffer the consequences? Possibly, yes. Possibly you can get killed or you get arrested and you go to jail and you be incarcerated for so many years. But that was your choice. And I'm telling you, when God began to read, when that really came alive to me as an act of my will, that Satan can't make me do anything. I can choose to love people. I can choose to allow myself to be part of racism, prejudice, and I can choose not to as a born-again believer. All of that was new to me. And when the Holy Spirit really brought the reality that to me, it was like, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. But he said that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Look at that 16th verse. And this 16th verse right here, if you don't read it with an open mind and a mind to believe that God can do anything and God have done everything, then neither. He said, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet not henceforth. know we him no more. They know Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul never seen Jesus in the flesh. He saw him in the spirit. Jesus was the one that taught him and gave him revelation, you know. And when you read Apostle Paul, when you read his epistle, he have so much revelation. He have so much revelation about the spirit realm as well as the natural. And I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I love all the epistles. I love the whole Bible. But I love to read Apostle Paul, the revelation. That's why he said, everything I ever known, I count a lot that I may know him. He gave up all of that. He was a very smart man when it came down to different, the Jews and the Hebrew and Greek. He knowed all of that. But when he came into the knowledge and understanding revelation about Christ, he said, I count all that a lot. He said, dune, I just forget about all of that. And I'm telling you, when your spirit eyes truly come open and you see mankind like God see mankind, you see bitterness and hatred from God's perspective, from God's view, it'll transform your lives. When you see the enemy and how the enemy can influence people, yeah, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, when your spirit eyes come open, because a lot of people, you know, I thank and praise the Lord for one of my minister's friends, prophet's mentor out of Minnesota, but she came from that. But I thank God for, I was thinking, telling her today how much I thank God for her and how she was in my life for a season and how God had her to teach me about the spirit world when it came down to the kingdom of darkness. Y'all, it is a such thing as the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. A lot of people might not, some people still in the dark about it, but Satan is real just like God is real. But if your spirit eyes haven't come open to that, guess what? You will fight against it. Amen? But like I said, I want to say that because this is, I wanted you to see that from 2 Corinthians 5:16. I wanted you to see it. Now I'm going to read that same verse from the Amplified. In the Amplified, so consequently from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. In terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in the terms of the flesh. And that's why if you look at humanity or mankind from the natural, you will find yourself, open yourself up for hatred, bitterness, strife, all of that. You will find that when you look at anybody from the natural perspective, you know, and you know, I'm a black African-American female, but you know, in the natural, it's certain things I was limited to, but do you not know in the spirit realm, Jesus opened the door for me that I don't, it's no limitation on my life. I'm a whosoever will. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. I don't have to allow people, what people think about me or the color of my skin or my background or my or none of that. I don't have to allow none of that to hinder me. And I'm not against African-American history because I see how God moved on African-American just like he did on some of the white. Y'all, God don't have respect of person, but he do have respect of faith. And when as I studied Galatians, like I said, I told people that, you know, for your own knowledge, read Galatians 8 for 6 chapters. And when you read Galatians, it really lets you see how Christ didn't only die for me to go to have eternal life, but he died that I can experience abundant life here. He removed the hostility between black and white, white and black, all color people, your culture. He removed all of that. Remember, I spent a whole week, well, really, on a Monday and a Thursday talking about how through Jesus Christ, God liberated females. Y'all, I'm telling you, and guess what? Whatever you've been in bondage with, he'll liberate you as well. But I wanted to read that because there, too, again, that is so important. And now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, yes, the 12th chapter. I want to read it in this entire, and the reason why I want to read it, because even when it comes down to spirit to give, and I say this all the time, just maybe because you're not an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you still are somebody in the body of Christ, and you are needed. Sometimes people put so much emphasis on the ones out front and not enough emphasis over the ones that sit in the congregation. And that's something we need to bring balance. And as I said, as a prophet of God, I don't just only prophesy and declare things over your life, but want you to know you are somebody. You don't have to just sit around and wait on a prophet or nobody come through and tell you how great and grand you are or what God think about you or how much God love you. If you've been born again and you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can decree and declare to yourself. One of the some scriptures I really use a lot is, you know, I've been crucified in Christ. It's no more and live, but Christ liveth in me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. It's in him I live. It's in him. I have all my being. It's in him I move. And that is so important. And believe it or not, when you open up that Bible and decree and declare what God say about you, you coming in agreement with heaven. That's why in Matthew 18, it tells us whatever you bind on this earth is already bind in heaven. But you need to know what is lawful and unlawful in heaven, where it's the same way here. And when you come in agreement, that's why you need to open your Bible up and say what God say about you. You know, I am God beloved. God love me. I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, from the authority of darkness, and I've been translated into the kingdom of God. That is so important. Okay, we're going to start with First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I hope we spend the rest of our time, the last 39 minutes, in reading this, because I want you to see. And like I said, sometimes when you want to talk about people flesh and denying the flesh and what their responsibility, people don't like to hear those kind of message. But you got to know, in God's eyes, you have your part to play just like I have mine to play. Okay? Okay, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we're going to begin. It said, now concerning, I'm reading from the Amplified first, the King James. It said, now concerning spirit to give, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are different administrators, but the same Spirit. And there are diversity of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profitable. Every, you hear that, every, not some. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the Spirit, to another divers gifts of counsel tongue, to another interpretation of tongue. But all of these work that one in the self-same Spirit divide to every man several as he will. For as the body is one and have many members, and all members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now listen what he said. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, it was hostile between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews always were lower and had resentment, and they were prejudiced against the Gentiles. But Jesus delivered and removed that hostility from each one of them. And that's why before you get born again, if you ain't careful, and even after you get born again, if you don't get your marriage, you'll still want to hold out and bitterness and hatred against people because the color of their skin, or better yet, because they different. But we in the body of Christ, and when I see it in the body of Christ, when I see in the body of Christ that you got some leaders, and just like Larity, they belittle you because of your intellect, come on somebody, your education, come on somebody, if you don't have certain degrees inside your name and all of that. But y'all, that ain't what it's about. In the kingdom, God consider us as one. Come on somebody. He consider us one. And when we come into that knowledge, that understanding, revelation, it won't be no big eyes and little U's, a big U's, and, you know, in the kingdom. He said, listen, he said, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, God gave him a revelation to compare the spiritual body to the natural body. I remember over 40-some years ago, about 30 the most, that God revelated this to me, and he said, and every part in the body is needed. And at that time, I thought very little a different denomination. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was just like Apostle Paul had to rebuke. Some of you exhort Apollo. Some of you exhort me. But we all one in Christ. And you got some people, they exhort certain denomination above the other. That is not God. God don't work that way. Jesus removed everything that separated us not only from God but from one another. And I'm telling you, the enemy have attacked the body of Christ where you got confusion, you got division, you got competition. Y'all, that's not God. That's the flesh. That's why he said, henceforth know no man after the flesh. You can't view them based upon their flesh. You got the, it's according to what the Spirit, he's talking about what God have done through Jesus, okay? He's a, look what he said, for the 14th verse, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eyes, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were in eyes, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now, listen, but now God have set the members, every one of them, in the body as he have pleased it. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eyes cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundantly in honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God, he keeps saying, everywhere you see in that 18th verse, it talk about what God had did. It tell us in that 13th verse. Then he come here in this 24th verse. He says, for our comely parts have no need, but God have tempered the body together. He come out the body of Christ. He come out the ones, if you name yourself among those that accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you ain't got no business being in competition with another part of the body. You ain't got no business even being little of them, going around talking about them, getting on Facebook or wherever you on the phone and blasting them. That means you not body-minded. That means you have not been established in the word when it come down to who you are, a part of the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. And this what Paul was trying to show the Corinthians, because the Corinthians were trying, they were operating in the gifts, and they, because whatever God give you, God not going to take it back, but they was not operating to the capacity that they needed to. They was being, they from time to time, they were yielding to the flesh. And when you walking in the flesh, you're going to always find fault in other people. You're going to seek, you're going to look for that. But once you come, if you view it from God's perspective and what God say, You don't see yourself better than nobody else. Now, if I start allowing my flesh do what it want to do, oh, you better than them. You got some people in the Bible, oh, I can preach better than them. My words is more. You see, God don't look at that. God look at how do you respond to one another once you get born again. That's why Jesus said, he told them, by you loving one another, they would know you are my disciples. And there too, again, that's what makes it different. We are disciples. When we make disciples, students, disciple, a student of the word, find out where your place at in the world, what God would have you to do, how God wants you to bridge the gap. Come on, somebody. All of this is so important. I see, like I said, teacher, man, sometimes people don't want to hear, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, guess what? I might not know, but God knows. And God forgave them just like he forgave you. God was merciful. God been merciful and patient with you. You got to be merciful and patient with them. That's why it's so important to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead. The Holy Spirit is to hear, lead and guide you. He'll lead and guide you. He'll tell you how to treat one another. Come on, somebody. Okay, then he goes, he said, having given more abundant honor to that part with life, that there should be no schism in the body. Well, we got some schism in the body. In the body of Christ, we got schism. I know that some leaders, I go around, and how they look at you, the first thing they want to know is you got a doctor degree. How many churches you got? Come on, somebody. How many members you got? And from that, they'll decide who you are. How many houses you got? How many cars you got? That stuff, Lula, is not important to God. See, the world need to see the body of Christ. That's why children look at their parents funny, because in the church you one thing, at home you something else. Come on now. Somebody always observe it. When you say you're a born-again believer, I notice, you know, a lot of time in my travel, a lot of time I don't, you know, openly say, well, you know, I'm an apostle prophet. I don't do that. But the Bible said, let your light shine. Now, people should be able to look at you, listen at your conversation or through your conversation, how you treat one another, how you treat your enemy. That's what they should be able to say. That's a Christian. Not your garment, not your house, not your car. Come on, somebody. First thing first. He said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or will one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You said that? Now ye, listen, look at that 17th verse. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You ain't in the body of Christ by yourself. Come on now. We not members in the body by ourselves. You and your folk, you and your 3,000. He's more in the body of Christ than 3,000 people. And I'm telling you, the world is looking at the body, how we demonstrated and expressing the love of God. I'm telling you, this right here, over 30-some years, about 30 or 40 years ago, it set me free. It caused me to view, look at no man after the flesh, but view them the way God view them. Hallelujah. But ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but cover earnest the best gift, and ye show unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to read that from the Living Bible. It's 6:43. I'm going to go to my Living, because this is so important, the way we view one another. I want you to hear me. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the way we view one another. As I stated, if you don't accept Jesus, acknowledge Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you're part of the body. I don't, regardless of the color of your skin, your background, your education, what you have, your material things, that don't matter in God's eyes. The world need to see the body of Christ. The enemy that got in the body, you haven't just, it just admitted divorce in the body of Christ, it is on the outside. No, you can't make nobody live with you. No, you can't. But the Bible said, if an unbeliever want to depart, let him depart. Y'all believe it or not. Now, it's two races of people on the earth, the believer and the unbeliever. But sometimes, as born-again believer, you can get in the category with the unbelievers. When you choose, when you take your eyes off of God and you choose to do this thing your way. And I don't know about you. I have to learn that I have to be led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. For time's sake. Well, no, just, okay, Lord. He said, now, dear brother and sister, I will write about the special ability the Holy Spirit given to each of us, for I must correct you your misunderstanding about them. You know that when you were still pagan, you was led astray and swept along and worshiped speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speak by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different kind of spirit to give, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There's no different kind of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a mean of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. And to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still, another person is given the ability to speak an unknown language, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Listen. The human body have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is in the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body have many different parts, not just one part. If the foot say, I am not a part of the body because I am not the hand, that does make it in, it doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear say, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not in the eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were in the eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our body with many parts, and he have put each part just where he want it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weaker and less important are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we close with the greatest care. So we carefully protect from the eyes or other those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for the harmony among the members so that all members care for each other equally. If one part suffer, all parts suffer with it. If one part is not, all parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is separate and necessary part of you. Here's a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. First apostles, second prophet, third teachers, then those who are miracle, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those can get others to work together, those who speak in unknown language. Is everyone apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. All teachers? No. Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in unknown language? Can everyone interpret unknown language? No. And in any event, you should desire the most helpful gift. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than all of these. But my point is to let you know, we that are born again is considered the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, the enemy trying to bring so much division and strife and misunderstanding in the body. Because the enemy know that Jesus said by the way we treat one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. And I say to all of those in the body of Christ, we are the light of the world. But when you listen to some saints, and I found out, if you don't renew your mind and be consistent in renewing your mind, I'm telling you, we living in a time now, it's so easy to take your eyes off of God, to take your eyes off of God and look at other things. That's the easy thing to do now. All you got to do is turn the TV on. And I'm not against news, but you got to know what to do with what you're saying. I was listening at this message, and this young man was talking about the power moving. He was talking about a shaking. Yes, there's a shaking going on in the earth. And God is shaking, y'all. But guess what? In all of what's happening, it letting you see as a born again believer whose side you on. Are you truly on the Lord's side? Are you done joining that side that want to operate in racism and prejudice? Are you on that side that's still calling black black and white white? But I'm telling you, and this is what Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to see. You need to know, just like your natural body, it's many parts in your natural body. But one part of my body cannot say it don't need the other part. And that's the way God have joined us together in the body of Christ. One part of the body can't say, I don't need the other. Now, if you look at each other based upon that they denominational, if you look at it from that perspective, honey, they don't do it like us, and there ain't going to be no part. You don't post to judge them. What I just read in 2 Corinthians, the 15th, he said, no man after the flesh. Didn't it say that? You're not supposed to look at them based upon the flesh. You're supposed to look at them according to the spirit. Remember we read that. That's what he said. Hereforth know no man after the flesh. But he said we're supposed to view them based upon the spirit, based upon the finishing work of Christ, the atonement. That's what we're supposed to be basing everything upon, because Jesus removed the very thing that caused humanity to be hostile against one another. He removed it. Now, the Jews and the Gentiles, if they receive the finishing work of Jesus, they can get along. You know, I like some Martin Luther King said in one of his last messages, he said, I done been to the mountaintop, and how one day the black and white would join hands. But God showed him the future, where the enemy had caused so much a hostile. And don't get me wrong, I'm not naive. In some people's life now, some people still have that racism, that prejudice against the color of your skin. That's not Christ. Now, if you're a born-again believer, you shouldn't be yielding to that mess. That's a spirit. That's it. That's a spirit. That's an evil force. That's an evil spirit that is working you. Because like I said, and I done said this all weekend, I've been talking about love. I've been talking about unity. I've been talking about agreement, because it grieved God when he see the body of Christ fighting among ourselves, being hostile to one another, you know. Now, all of us need time to mature. Paul even said, when I was a child, I acted and I spoke as a child. But when I growed up, I put childish thing away. Paul even, like I said, when you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, like I said, I love it. Because Paul even talks about carnal-minded Christian. Carnal-minded Christian is somebody still letting their flesh dictate to them. They're easy to be provoked. Come on, somebody. Now, when you go to 1st, and if, like I said, ooh, I love it. I'm telling you, this is good. When you look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, go and when you go read that, he talk about how love's supposed to respond. He talk about it. He was telling you, if y'all had all these gifts but not operating the love, what you is. And I like when he was saying in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he would tell me, he said, and though I bestow all my goods, in that third verse, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffer long. It's kind. Charity even not. Charity about not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own. It's not easy provoked. Think it's no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Now, why would you talk about, because like I said, there too again, we look at this and we look over like, oh, we don't have to do that. And God don't, yes, it do. Now I'm going to read a little bit from the Living Bible. He said, I'm going to start at that fourth verse. He said, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of when wrong is done to it. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoice whenever the truth wins out. Love never give up, never lose faith. And that's some love never fail. And I start meditating on it. What you mean love never fail? That means regardless of how people treat you, you're going to do right by them. And if you keep doing right by people, regardless of what they do, I don't see this happen many times in my life. Conviction will come to them, and they will see they fault. That's why the Bible said, love work no illness to his neighbor. Come on, oh, this is good. Love never give up. Love it never lose faith. It's always hope for endure through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in unknown tongue and like, special now we all disappear. And see, there too again, when you read this, and like I said, this is the epistle coming from Apostle Paul. Like I said, Apostle Paul had great revelation when it came down to the spirit as well as the natural. He got so caught up with the spirit realm when they were telling it that he didn't need to go try. He said, I'm ready to die if need be. Paul seen Jesus in a way that really caused him to forget about this world. And I'm telling you, even with Jesus, when he walked there, what did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to do my will. I come to do the will of the one that sent me. Jesus was so, just like Paul, they were so caught up in the things of the Father that all they wanted to do was hear and obey him. And y'all, we supposed to be the same way. Now, when you make up in your mind to live right and do all God would have you to do, yeah, I want you to know that go for, yes, you're going to be persecuted. Yeah, that's part of it. You're going to be persecuted. The Bible says, who all live a godly life going to suffer persecution. But listen, the greater one that's on the inside of you. Again, I'm going to close with this, but go back and read these scriptures. Go back and read 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 12th and the 13th chapter, and you'll know what the will of God is for your life. Father, in Jesus' name, again, I thank you for this word. I give you praise. I give you honor. Thank you for bringing understanding and enlightenment to the ones that tune into it. I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. Pray and trust you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.